Despite the millions of job openings that are apparently out there, it's harder than ever to get hired. The news is constantly telling us that companies are desperate for workers and that there's tons of jobs just waiting to be filled. Meanwhile, there's stories everywhere of people sending out tens or hundreds of applications without ever getting a single interview. It just doesn't make sense. So what really happened to turn finding work into a full-time job? Well, a few decades ago, even when there were job shortages, it was still much easier to get a good job. The advice the boomers give of putting on a tie and asking the manager for a job really worked. All it took was enough tries before you finally met someone who liked you. Today, you could try this thousands of times and you probably still wouldn't get a chance. One difference that's easy to notice is that the bar for entry has gotten significantly higher for most jobs. Before 2000, a good college degree was almost a guarantee of a good job. Companies would compete with each other to get the most recent graduates. They were forced to offer a wage that could support a family. If they didn't, they wouldn't get any employees. But now the tables have completely turned, and they're only really interested in the very top percent of students. What used to amount to a free entry ticket has become the very minimum of what they expect. Despite over 70% of listed jobs requiring a bachelor's degree, only a bit over 30% of American adults actually have one. But you don't just need a good degree, of course. You also need real-world experience, even for so-called entry-level positions. Companies are so picky now that they're asking people who have just left college to have years worth of experience, all for a salary they can barely survive on. The only way to get this is to work while studying full-time, which is rarely possible if you need to do an internship for the field you plan on entering. The past always looks better in hindsight, of course. There were still job shortages and people still got rejected. But the key difference between then and now is the massive rise in competition because of the internet. If you were a company in the 1980s looking to hire a few new employees, you didn't really have many options. Small companies could only recruit through in-person events, word of mouth, or physical leaflets posted to boards. It was a slow, long process with only a few applicants to choose from. Hiring managers had to treat each applicant like a real person, using their own judgment to figure out who would be the best fit. Large companies only had a few more tools at their disposal. With their size, they could get a foot in the door at colleges or high schools and hoover up applications that way. But even then, they were still much more limited. So just think about how much this process has changed in such a short time. If any company wants a new employee, all they need to do is put a listing out on one of the many websites for that explicit purpose. And it'll almost immediately be seen by thousands and thousands of people, along with a whole wave of different recruiters who will spread it even more. Without any barriers to applying like showing up in person, these jobs can get thousands of applicants. There's no reason not to try your luck, so why not send off 50 applications? As it's gotten harder and people need to send even more applications to get a chance, it's only gotten worse. If you're using your personal phone number to close business deals, you're not just mixing work and play, but you're sabotaging your chances of success. Recently, I've been doing a bunch of traveling, and I've been trying to operate my business through just my personal phone. It was a terrible idea. You can't really communicate with people properly. You're trying to manage all these different sections of your business with multiple different apps. You lose track of everything. It's just an absolute nightmare, especially when other people notice this and don't take you as seriously because you're just working from your phone. Not only can this look amateur, but you and your team are probably using 18 different apps to get your work done, right? That was my case. Which is why I want to tell you about the sponsor of this video, Nextiva, where you can cut down on all of this to just one app. Nextiva consolidates your business voice, text, video meetings, and CRM inside of one app. You get seamless, personalized customer interactions across all channels. And you can do this even if you're currently running your business off of your personal phone and your CRM is a spreadsheet. You don't need any tech experience. You just need to download their app and follow the easy setup. You can make this one change and your business will look as polished as a Fortune 500 company, and you'll be able to focus on closing and scaling up your business. This is the year to level up your business and lower your costs. Go to trynextiva.com/moon or use the link down below in the description to get 50% off of your plan. It's exactly the same thing that's happened to dating. Modern technology has globalized the potential pool of competition. Finding a job or a partner used to be so much more personal. It all hinged on the impression you gave to the person across from you. Now it's a total numbers game. How you fill out your application form or your Tinder profile has much more of an impact than pretty much anything else. And as a result, the standards have also gone up by ludicrous amounts on both job sites and dating sites. It makes people and companies think they have far higher standards because they have so much more choice. The reality on the ground though hasn't really changed, and the effects this has had on the job market have been catastrophic. It's led to the whole process getting much more dehumanizing for applicants, who have been turned into numbers on a spreadsheet. So those are the biggest reasons why finding a job used to be much easier than it is today. But the real devil is in the details. Even with all of these changes, finding work really shouldn't take hours of searching and hundreds of applications. The reason it's all so frustrating are the things that companies have done to deal with this new reality. So let's explore the different ways they found to make getting hired even harder. Today, the problem for companies has been completely reversed. Instead of not getting good enough applications to choose from, they get hundreds or thousands more than they need. Every time they need to hire someone new, it means reading through hundreds of applications and filtering out all the ones that aren't suited. In a perfect world, companies would put more time and effort into this, but we all know that hasn't really happened. Instead, they've turned to one of the most frustrating and dehumanizing parts of the modern job market, automatic rejection systems. Today, over 97% of Fortune 500 companies use what's referred to as an ATS, an applicant tracking system. The basic idea is simple. An ATS works like a sieve, filtering out any applications that don't meet whatever requirements the employer has set. When they first came into widespread use in the early 2000s with the rise of the internet, they could only deal with a few basic questions. If someone ticks the box saying they're not legally allowed to work, for example, they'd get rejected. Today, ATS companies advertise their services to the public like this is still the only thing they do. Companies like Greenhouse, Lever, or Workday have to admit their products automatically reject people. It's far too obvious for them to deny it, but they try to give the impression that it's only a few legal questions that do this. Of course, this isn't the case at all. Rejection questions, where giving the wrong answer puts your CV in the reject pile, are everywhere today. In fact, they're only the first hurdle an applicant needs to get past to beat the machine. As the internet becomes the main place to search for jobs, ATS companies had to adapt. They needed to keep up with the increasing amounts of applications, so they added more rejection questions. Instead of just filtering out the people you legally can't hire, they started giving companies the option to reject people based on whatever legal criteria they wanted. Your address, your experience, any question they ask can make the difference between getting an interview or getting ghosted. Normally, they don't outright reject CVs, of course, they just rank them all based on the criteria they're using. Technically, all an ATS really does is turn tons of applications into a ranked list of candidates. If you end up on the bottom of the pile, though, or anywhere near except the very top, you'll never get looked at anyway. An ATS probably won't automatically reject you, it will just put you so far back in the queue that you might as well not even be there. But even this approach still left too many applications for companies to look through. To fix it, they made the ATS able to read the CV itself. Today, these systems can go through applications and pick out certain keywords they want to see. If you didn't use those certain words they wanted, you'll end up at the back of the queue and eventually get rejected. They can also read how much experience you have in certain areas, making note of everyone who doesn't make the cut. Even today, these systems are far from perfect. If you don't have the same keywords they use in the job posting, then your CV can often end up on the bottom of the pile regardless of whether you're qualified or not. Similar problems can come from how you format your CV. Some templates don't get read as well by the system, meaning they miss out important parts and unfairly reject people. There are ways to avoid this, like making sure you use the same words they use in the advert, or using a standard template that the system will be designed to read. At the end of the day though, it's not something that people should have to do. Rewriting your entire CV every time is part of what makes finding a job in the modern world so soul-crushing, especially when you just get ghosted over and over again. Pretty much every single company in the West uses these systems now, but even with almost 100% adoption, the situation could still get worse. AI is perfectly suited for use in an ATS. It's already widespread, and it makes these programs far better at understanding people's CVs and filtering people out. So companies will be eager to cut out just a little bit more of the human element from finding new employees, as they might just save a little bit extra on personnel costs. This is the crux of the problem with ATS and how they've taken over the entire process. Finding a job used to be a human experience, where you were in at least limited control of the situation. Obviously, you couldn't make it a certainty that you'd get hired, but you at least got a chance to make a unique impression on whoever did decide. By turning all of the applicants into a set of data, companies dehumanize the entire thing. So out of the thousands of applicants that usually are for each good job, you have to stand out in spite of a system intentionally turning you into a data point on a spreadsheet. But even this incredibly infuriating roll of the dice is still the best outcome you can have when applying to one of these jobs. People talk about the 1,000-to-1 odds of getting a job once it's posted, and they might think they're over-exaggerating. In reality though, the odds are even worse. A large part of the rejections people get are because the jobs they're applying to don't actually exist. It's a problem that's only been getting worse. The ratio of people getting hired to job openings in the US actually fell below 0.5 in 2023, which means at least half of all job openings are for so-called ghost jobs, which are never going to get anyone hired in the first place. So let's explore the insidious reason companies keep these listings up and why so many people's time is wasted by them. Ghost jobs are everywhere on sites like Indeed. You can apply to a job listing and wait anxiously for a response, but after weeks or months you either get rejected or you don't hear back at all. In a lot of these cases, it probably has nothing to do with you or your CV. Instead, it was all probably because the company wasn't planning on hiring anyone anyway. In a survey of over 1,000 hiring managers, over two-thirds admitted to leaving their job postings up for a month. 10% had left listings on the internet for over 6 months without filling the role. There's a ton of different reasons that companies do this today, none of which are a good excuse for the time they waste. Sometimes people already know who's actually going to get the job. Some executive some might need something to do, or maybe they've already decided on an internal candidate. Maybe they're just going to dump the workload on one of their current employees but need to make it look like they tried to find someone else. It barely takes them any time or resources at all to drop some templated job listing online, and the longer they leave it up, the higher the chance that they'll hook that magical unicorn employee that they've been looking for. The person is qualified and experienced but will probably work for under market rate and won't ask for any benefits. Other times, these listings will just be there for appearances. It looks good for the company if they're growing and hiring new people, for example. They might also think that the current employees will wonder who's getting replaced and work harder to avoid it. There's a million sleazy reasons for companies to create fake listings. The job sites will be happy to take their business. And that's another reason it's such a massive problem today. The job boards actively want dead listings. Fake listings boost their numbers and let them brag about the thousands of jobs they have available, giving this illusion of plenty even when there's only scraps on the table. These websites aren't there to cater to job seekers. They only need to do the bare minimum to stay functional. If you're not paying for it, then you're the product, not the customer. Job seekers on these sites don't have any agency. For most, it's a choice between using them or going hungry. The real customers are the companies who post the adverts and pay for the extras. If they want to post dead listings, why would Indeed or any other job board stop them? All of these things have made finding a job that much harder. Today, it's an excruciating trial of patience unless you get unusually lucky early on in your search. Of course, if there is a problem, even one that's been entirely fabricated, an industry will spring up to solve it. Middlemen and recruitment agencies used to be necessary parts of the professional world. If you couldn't get your job seen by the right people, they could bridge the gap and find good candidates for the opening. You would think that this instant communication and the ability to have your job opening seen by thousands of people in seconds would have damaged this industry. But instead, the recruitment industry has grown massively in the past few decades. In the UK, the recruitment industry grew to be worth over 140 billion at the end of 2022. 20 billion more than just 3 years before that. 30,000 recruitment companies now employ over 200,000 people. For a considerable sum, they'll eventually find you a job, if they don't just string you along for more payments. Even in the best of cases, all these agencies do is reverse the changes of the past 20 years and give you a real shot at a job opening. Most of the time though, they're only really solving a problem that the wider industry created for people in the first place. It's a whole lot of money which only keeps flowing in because of how hard it is for regular people to do it themselves now. So maybe you got lucky with automated systems, or perhaps you went through the hassle of dealing with recruiters. But either way, you've somehow got yourself an interview. Except even that crucial stage of the process has been changed beyond recognition. While there may be a short, often meaningless interview towards the end of the process, tons of companies have substituted that for questionnaires and tests instead. While the questions might vary, most of these kinds of tests are pretty similar. Some of them might ask you about what you would do in an imaginary situation, supposedly to test your critical thinking. Others ask the kinds of questions where you can either lie and give the obviously correct answer or be honest and get marked down. All of them though are a complete waste of time. It hasn't stopped anyone from Microsoft to Walmart, all of these companies using them to sort through potential employees. In fact, big retail chains are some of the most infamous companies for just giving people these tests instead of ever actually interviewing them. Why they need to know your star sign to see if you can stack shelves fast enough is another matter entirely. But the reason Walmart is the most enthusiastic about these tests above all other companies will become clear soon enough. These tests don't come close to giving employers information on the skills and experience that candidates might have either. Most people rashly just try to figure out what answers they want you to pick. The integral question of whether you'd be a good fit, on which the entire process should depend on, has almost been completely forgotten. Today, even references are nearly always just a confirmation that you worked at a company for a certain amount of time. Any information on whether you were actually a good employee can't be given anymore because you can sue people who give you bad references. It means that companies just don't make themselves liable. So if they don't actually measure your aptitude, what's the point of all these aptitude tests? A lot of the time, the actual content of the questions doesn't matter. The main thing they're testing people on is how eager they are to jump through the hoops in the first place. If you can see through the corporate language and spend the time figuring out what they want you to say, you're already already conforming. It's also why there are often multiple different tests at different stages in the hiring process. The more of their hoops you'll jump through, the more likely you are to be a good corporate drone. Walmart's tests have the same purpose as the humiliating dances they make their employees do. They break people down just a little bit more. Another reason for these tests has nothing to do with the candidates at all. Instead, they're in place because the upper management has no faith in the people further down the pyramid to choose good employees. Once companies start hiring by questionnaire, they can take middle management out of the loop entirely. It means they can put even more of their faith and trust into data and spreadsheets over real human judgment. With all of the changes we've seen in hiring in the past two decades, a common theme has emerged. All of these changes take the power out of the hands of the applicant and put them into the hands of corporate management. The process of getting your applications noticed is an exhausting numbers game. Either getting lucky or sending off dozens or hundreds of applications is the only way people can actually survive.
I looked at the data. If you just applied to a job through a job board, the odds of you getting hired were about 3%. So you got to apply to a lot of different jobs in order to have a chance to get them, and you're going to get lots and lots of just no responses.
Even if you do get through the first stage, employers will happily waste months of your time. They'll put you through endless different stages of interviews, tests, and trial periods, all to just ghost you after they choose somebody else. It's a truly dystopian part of our modern society that all of these barriers have been put in the way of people simply surviving. And the reward at the end of this arduous journey is just usually a job that pays the same wage as it did 20 years ago, before all of this even happened. In today's economic climate, it's a question of survival. Every paycheck can make or break someone's entire life. These artificial delays have done serious damage to society and eroded what little trust there was between employers and employees. So you can play nice to try and dupe the system, but never really buy into any of the rhetoric about family or trust. Don't fool yourself into thinking these companies actually care about you, or an equal system, or any other garbage. It's a myth that everybody's hiring, as it's been shown repeatedly that there's much more to this equation than first meets the eye. We'll be right back.